I hope everybody had a great feast. I know that at least four or five of you did. We were over at Zachary and Melody's apartment last night, and they had some guests over for dinner, and they were afterwards going over their feast sermon notes. So we got to hear some feast sermon summaries from different feast sites. That's always a great thing, to try to stretch out that wonderful Festival of Tabernacles feeling as long as you can, because we've got a long, dark couple of months ahead of us before the spring holy days come up again, and it's always a good way to get you through. I have to say, I love Mr. White's analogy of you can't be a Christian by just going to church any more than you can go in the garage and becoming an automobile. Man, I love that. That's a picture that's going to stay in my mind. Well, I'd like to start this sermon by asking each of you a question. What words do you want to hear? What words or phrases, but what words do you really want to hear? What words do you need to hear? Each of us has words that we want to hear. How about, this is the Publisher's Clearinghouse Prize Patrol, and you have just won $10 million. Well, that's kind of a superficial, silly thing. I mean, although every $10 million helps. I mean, we would love to hear those words. Or, but on a more mundane level, good news, you don't need a new transmission. It was just a little low on fluid. Those are good words that you'd like to hear. How about, good work, you deserve a raise, and I'm putting through the paperwork this afternoon. Now, those are always welcome words. You want to hear those words. Or, for some of us, how about, congratulations, you got the job, and you can start on Monday. You know, that's a reality for so many people in today's economic climate. You know, I think an unemployment rate in Adams County, where we live, is like 14%. And it's very high over in Elkhart, you know, 20, 25%. And you hear numbers, you know, different pockets. But those are words that some people would really like to hear. Good news, you've got the job and you can start Monday. Or how about, nice report you did for our class. I'm giving you an A for the semester. That would be a good word. If you're in school, elementary school, high school, college, good work, you get an A. Or how about this? Oh, you're taking off 2 weeks of school for this Feast of Tabernacles? Well, no problem. Have fun. We know it's a good cause. Just bring back some pictures and a nice report for the class. You can have off the feast. Don't worry about it. How would you love to hear those words? I know that about 5 years ago, Melody, Zach's wife, did not get to hear those words. She got to hear a professor say, bad news, there is no God. I don't care if you're going to a rock concert or to this feast of whatever. You've got to do this. You're under my thumb here. Well, it all worked out. God always works these things out. And in the end, he came to respect her for her convictions. And it works that way even when it's the darkest. Believe me, kids. I mean, if you stick with your convictions and go off to the Feast of Tabernacles, no matter what the cost, God always works these things out. I had a friend in Fort Worth, Texas, and every time it was time for him to go to the feast, the boss would say, blankety blank, blankety blank, I can't even repeat it, but if you go to this thing, don't bother coming back to work. Don't bother. And he always went to the feast, and he always came back, and he always had a job when he got back, and he lasted in that job about 3.5 years. He called it the Great Tribulation. But it worked, and he found a better job, and he was always able to stick by his convictions, and they respected him for that. Well, how about these words? How would you like to hear these words? Good news, the cancer is definitely in remission, and this kind doesn't come back. I had a friend in Texas. He heard words similar to that. Good news, that growth on your pancreas was cancerous, but the cyberknife got it all. We'll see you in 6 months for a checkup. We think you're clean. Boy, he really wanted to hear those words. God blessed him, and he got to hear those words. Here's some words I heard back in August. Well, the car was totaled, but it looks like you don't have a scratch on you. I got to hear those on August the 8th. My brakes failed, and I just kind of like ran underneath this passing semi, and it hit my, spun me around, and the airbags went off, and then big disaster, but God spared my life. You know, those were words I really wanted to hear. Well, your car's totaled, but it looks like you didn't get a scratch. And these are the big things. Maybe something a little less dramatic. Think about what words you want to hear that are more, but maybe they're more meaningful on a different level. I'm happy to pick up my room, Mom, because I know it makes you happy. How many out there would like to hear those words at least once in their life? Or, of course we'll come home for Thanksgiving, Dad. It means a lot to you, and we really miss you. Now, maybe you'll not get to hear those words in this lifetime. I don't know. Or how about, come over for coffee. We can catch up this week on the happenings of the week. You know, some people are really lonely, and they really need to hear those words. Or maybe they're shut-ins, and maybe they need to hear the words in, hey, do you mind if I come over Wednesday morning? We'll have some coffee and catch up with the life. I'll tell you how it was at the feast, because I know you didn't get to get out to the feast. Or how about, how would you like to hear these words? Good job, son. I'm really proud of you. For some of you in this life, it may be too late. Maybe your mother or your father really should have said those words to you, and they never did, and now they're gone, and you won't get to hear them. But guess what? If you have children, you can break that chain, and you can pass on those good words to your children right now, and you can say the words and mean them that you needed to hear but never heard. It's within your power. How about, you're the best daughter a family could have, and I really, really mean that. How would you love to hear those words? Maybe you really need to hear those words. How about these words? I love you. Maybe it comes from a spouse. Maybe it comes from a family member. Maybe it comes from whoever. And maybe those are the words you just really need to hear. If you could just hear those three words, it would fulfill all the desires of your heart. Well, like I say, each of us has things we really, really want to hear. And in the course of the sermon, I hope to cover some points that will make a difference in your life. And hopefully help you make a difference in the lives of those that you love, those that respect you, those that need you to say the words that they really need to hear. Now, of course, you know, on the other side of the coin, there's always a flip side. There are some things you just don't want to hear, like, step away from the car and keep your hands in the air. You don't want to hear those words. You don't have to if you live right, though. How about, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you can't say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You don't want to hear those words. How about, hello, this is the IRS, and we have a few questions for you. You don't want to hear those words. I'm going to stick to the positive, or I'm going to stick to the words we want to hear and the ones we need to hear. And you know, it's been my observation that the words that you need to hear, you have to live up to them. If you're not living the life, and yet you want to hear these words of praise, if you hear these words of praise, how much do they count for? You know, what good is it? Is it hollow flattery? Is it somebody trying to get something out of you? Is it a con artist? If you want to hear the words that you want to hear, that you need to hear, you've got to be walking the walk. I mean, you know, very few bosses will say, good job, if you're not doing a good job. I mean, what do they have to gain by telling you something that's not true? Because they're the boss. They've got the power. If you want to hear the words, good job, well, you got to do a good job. Very few people will say, I love you, if you're not at least just a little bit lovable. You know, we want to be loved unconditionally, in spite of our flaws, in spite of our faults. And God loves us unconditionally, and we want others to love us unconditionally too. And can we recognize that? And on the flip side, can you love someone else unconditionally? You're more likely to hear the words, I love you, if you're just at least a little bit lovable, if you make that effort. You want to be loved in spite of your sharp tongue. You know, we all want to be loved in spite of our impatience and our annoyance. You know, sometimes things just get under your skin, yet you want your mate to love you and give you the benefit of the doubt anyway. Well, that works for a good long time, but eventually, you know, the patience wears thin and you've got to walk the talk and not just talk the talk. We live in a world of shallow praise and flattery. We live in a world of cursed marketers who are always just out to get between you and your wallet, and they tell you things that they know you want to hear. There's scientific research, believe me, that tells you what people want to hear and what the motivators are and what the key concepts are that you want to appeal to in advertising and marketing copy. And there's a whole profession of people that make a living telling the audience things that they want to hear, maybe even things they need to hear, but they're not really sincere about it. And you know, your radar goes off. You may need to hear some words, but if they're coming from a person with the wrong attitude, or if they're coming from a point of view where they really don't know, how come they're saying that to me? Is this flattery? What's the deal? You know, your radar rightly goes off. No, what when we need to hear certain words, we need to hear them spoken sincerely. We need to know that we're living up to it. We need to know that we're being not being conned. How can you obtain the desires of your heart, the words that you need to hear? Well, if you'll turn to Psalm 37, let's just read through this psalm. This will give you an inkling of how to hear the words that you want to hear, how to gain the desires of your heart. And you know, it's always neat how the song leading works out with the message, because that was the song we sang just before this. You know, wait in hope and look for God. Trust in Him. He'll give you the desires of your heart. I did not tell Mr. McLean that I was going to be going through Psalm 37. And yet it's cool that they chose that song. Psalm 37. And we'll start reading in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. How can you hear the words you want to hear? Well, trust in the Lord, but walk the talk too. Do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Think about Him. Commune with Him on the Sabbath and on each day as you read your Bible and pray. Draw next to you. Draw next to Him, and He'll draw next to you. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. You know, there are sure promises of God scattered throughout the Scriptures that He's given us for our encouragement, for our admonition, for our help. And when you need help, turn to the Scriptures. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. You know, it's like the old prayer, oh God, give me patience and give it to me now. You know, well, sometimes God's time is different than our time, and you have to wait and be still. Be still and know that I am God, He says. Wait patiently for Him. Don't fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. You know, the anger of man does not work God's righteousness. And if you want the desires of your heart, and if you want to hear the words you need to hear, here's a recipe for it. Refrain from anger. Turn away from wrath. Don't fret. It only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off. Those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no longer. And that's a message we heard at the feast, you know, the return of Christ pictured by the Day of Trumpets. Binding of Satan and his demons, pictured by the Day of Atonement and us becoming at one with God, the wicked will be cut off. Now, they don't understand. They'll have a chance as pictured by the last great day. But in the meantime, as God is honing our character and building us up and fashioning us with this treasure that we hold in jars of clay, we don't need to be fretting and worrying and stewing about the world around us now, because a little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Skip down to verse 16. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. You know, what God places as high importance is character, as we heard in the sermonette, and loving kindness and favor and all the attributes of God. And wealth has wings and it'll sprout them and fly away like an eagle. You know, it says in the other Scriptures, don't set your heart on wealth. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. For the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. And if you feel like you're not being upheld, if you're feeling downtrodden, look to these Scriptures, and you know it's a promise from God that the Lord will uphold you. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord. You know, He keeps every tear in His bottle. He knows every hair on our head. He knows when the sparrow falls. He knows what we're thinking before the word is on our lips. You know, the answer, it's not in us to direct our steps, but it is in God's power if we'll rely on Him. And the days of the blameless are known to the Lord. Their inheritance will endure forever, more than just this 70 or 80 if you have the strength. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. You know, there's coming a famine. First of all, we know by the Scriptures, you know, the famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. Who knows what kind of crazy hate speech laws will get enacted? Who knows what kind of political correctness will swoop down even more with a tightening grip to where we might have trouble preaching the gospel, telling the truth of God in a public forum. The days of famine of hearing of the word of the Lord are prophesied to come. And we can be upheld in that time. We can be also upheld physically in days of famine. You know, as the end time gets closer to us, there will be hunger. There will be things that surprise you. But in times of disaster, if we trust in the Lord, we will not wither. And in days of famine, we can enjoy plenty. Skip down to verse 23. If the Lord delights in a man's way. Now, isn't that an interesting thought? I thought we were filthy rags. I thought we were just scumbuckets, you know, just nothing. Right? But it is possible for the Lord to delight in a man's way. It is possible for God to tell you some words that you need to hear, to give you some praise that's justly deserved. And I have about 7 scriptures that I'll be going through after we finish this section of scripture here that key off of this theme. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. They're always generous and lend freely, and their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just, and he will not forsake his faithful ones. As we are faithful, he will be faithful to us. And he will give us praise and honor and tell us words of encouragement, words that we need to hear. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. And the mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom. Those are the things that we should be uttering, not foolishness or coarse talk or foolish jesting, as it says. We need to utter wisdom. And his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart, and his feet do not slip. You know, God promised that he would write his laws on our hearts and in our minds, and our feet will not slip. Skip down to verse 39. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. If you take refuge in God, you will hear the words that you want to hear. You will hear the words that you need to hear. Some of them you'll hear from your fellow man. Some of them you'll hear from, you know, your peers at school and at work or your family. But you can hear these words directly from God, too. In fact, let's take that a step further. How can you hear words of praise from God? How can God be pleased with us who are flesh, who have feet of clay, and you know, the flesh is heir to so many ills. And yet God can overlook that because of the attitudes that we harbor. He can give us words of praise and actually take delight in our way. And you know those words of praise from God will ring true. You know, God does not lie. He doesn't show favoritism. He's got nothing to gain by telling us something that isn't true. He's got no reason to flatter us. So when you hear words of praise from God, when you read them in the scriptures, when you know that God has sent someone to tell you these words, you know that your radar doesn't have to go up, that they're true, and you can take satisfaction in that. In fact, you can look up the word praise, and it's used hundreds of times in the Bible. And most of the time, the word praise is used in relationship to praising God. Praise him, you angels. Praise him, you hosts. Praise him, you sun, moon, and stars in the heights. But what if the God of the universe were actually to praise you? Not to just say, well, this is the way, walk in it. But to actually say words of praise to you. We'll turn over to John 12. We'll take a look at the first of these 7 scriptures. And we can find out how we can get words of praise from God. John 12. Now again, we don't earn salvation. We don't earn God's favor. He draws us and leads us to repentance, as Mr. White was saying. You know, the goodness of God leads you to repentance. It's not from us. You know, Christ said, "No man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him." But in John 12, we can find here that Christ, in verse 37, John 12, 37, Christ had done some miraculous signs. They were undeniable. And yet, even after Jesus had done all these miraculous signs that it had described in the chapter, in their presence, in their eyes, they still would not believe in him. This is to fulfill the words of Isaiah the prophet, blinding their eyes, deadening their hearts. Who has believed our report? The creator and maker of the universe himself was right there, and they didn't recognize the time of their visitation. And he performed divine, incontrovertible miracles. And even after they'd seen him, they still wouldn't believe in him. And skip on down here to the verse 42. Yet, at the same time, many among the leaders believed in him. Not everybody didn't believe him. Some even of the leaders believed him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved praise from men more than praise from God. Well, God wants to praise you. And if you love the praise from God, guess what? You're going to put him first. You're not going to worry about being put out of the synagogue. You're not going to let the esteem, the perceived esteem in the eyes of, you know, the Pharisees or the religious leaders of the day or whoever it is in business or in school. If you're trying to curry the favor of a person as opposed to living God's way, then you're not going to get praise from God. If you love praise of men more than praise from God, well, guess what? You might get praise from men, but what good is that? God can praise you and will praise you if you put him first and don't give a whit, really, about the praise of men when it comes to matters of character and not compromising and standing true for what you believe, not with a chip on your shoulder. You know, God knows your heart. And that character that you build is something that God will take delight in if you put him first and not care about the praise of men more than the praise of God. And you can get praise from God if you put him first. Let's look at another scripture over in 1 Corinthians, if you would. 1 Corinthians 4, you can get praise from God if your motives are pure. 1 Corinthians 4, that first scripture was praise from God if you put him first. This is praise from God if your motives are pure. You can hear the words of praise from God that you need to hear if your motives are pure. 1 Corinthians 4, and in verse 4, Paul is explaining himself. He says, look, my conscience is clear, but that doesn't make me innocent. It's the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. Then each man's praise will come to him from God. When God discloses the motives of your heart, if the motives are pure, then your praise will come to you from God. It is totally possible and desirable, and it's God's desire to praise you for your motives. And your motives, guess what, are within your power. You know, we are not meat puppets. We are not automatons. We are not just dancing like marionettes on some cosmic string. God has set before us a choice. This is the way, walk ye in it. I set before you to this day life and blessing, death and cursing. Therefore, choose life. It's setting our will and our character to choose life that will cut some ice with God. We can't do it on our own strength, as we know. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to do for us that which we can't do for ourselves. But God does depend on us to make the choice, to will that. And then he'll back up that will and that choice with strength as we rely on him. And again, it's not our own strength, but it is our own choice. And if our motives are pure, then each man's praise will come to him from God. God will praise you for that pure motive, for having the right reason for doing what we do. Turn to another scripture, Romans 2. You will get praise from God, words that you need to hear, if your heart is circumcised. Romans 2. Romans 2 and in verse 28. He's talking about circumcision and relying upon the outward appearance of show. There were a lot of people in the Christian church back then who had come straight out of Judaism, and they had this faction that says, okay, you Gentiles, you can come to church, but you've got to be circumcised according to the law of Moses. And they didn't understand what was retained and what was done away, and they were looking on an outward show, and Paul was giving them the facts here. He was telling them how the cow ate the cabbage. He was saying, look, it's not just an outward thing, it's an inward thing. We're trying to transform our hearts here. Verse 28, a man is not a Jew if he's one outwardly only, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. And here they were, trying to get praise from men through the outward show of physical circumcision and making a big stink about that, and overlooking the circumcision of the heart, that tender and willing submission to look to an authority and a power greater than yourself, outside yourself. Having a heart that's obedient and loving and has the law of God written on it is the true circumcision of the heart. It's a sign between you and God, and nobody can see that. It's not something that you can detect with the seeing of the eyes. I mean, man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the inward heart. And if you are living authentically from the heart and not in some outward show of piousness, then that's the character that God recognizes and praises. Your praise will be not from men, but from God, if your heart is circumcised and living by every word of God in humble submission and using that sign. Turn over to 1 Peter 1. You will get praise from God if your faith is strong. You will get praise from God if your faith is strong. You will hear those words that you need to hear of encouragement if your faith is strong. 1 Peter 1. In this you greatly rejoice, it says in verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And you know, that spoke to them authentically, and it speaks to us. We have had to suffer in all kinds of trials. My dad always said, son, you think you have it tough. Just imagine if everybody in the room just threw all their trials and their troubles out into a big pile in the middle of the room. You could sort through them, and guess what? Everybody would take their trials right back again. Because when you see, if you were to learn the secret burdens that so many people carry, you'd just be astounded. And we've all had to suffer with many trials. But it says here, a little while. We've had to suffer a little while. Again, these 70 that we're living in the scope of eternity is just a little while, a light and momentary affliction, it calls us. You may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Verse 7, these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. Your faith needs to be proved genuine, and these fiery trials are a way to prove that faith genuine, like a refiner's fire, and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Not only will there be praise for the resurrected saints and their genuine faith, there will be glory and honor. Can you imagine how good that will feel when the time comes, not only to be praised by God for the faith that we set our mind to exhibit and the strength that we relied on to come from God, to result in glory and honor. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians 15 and in 2 Thessalonians that when we're resurrected, our bodies will be spirit bodies, and we will be like Christ, for we'll see Him as He is. There will be glory and honor and praise because of our successful struggle, because, again, we just set our will at God's urging and with the help of the Holy Spirit to choose life and to not choose death, to choose life in things great and small. There are other scriptures. Turn over to Psalms 91. Psalm 91. The whole Bible is it's so cool when you just get out one of those Bible word search programs and you look for praise and look that up and honor. It's just really neat how many you find there are that talk about praising us and giving us some credit for making that choice. Again, Not that we're anything good of and by ourselves. You know, Paul said, I know that in me no good thing dwells that is just of the flesh, but the Spirit of God dwelling in us. In Psalm 91, verse 14, Psalm 91:14, because he loves me, says the Lord, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he's known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. By putting God first, God will actually give us honor. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation. Proverbs 21, if you turn over there, it's a way to get honor. It's a way to hear the words that you want to hear. Proverbs 21, verse 21. He who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. 22:4, just a couple of verses over. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. You know, don't turn there, but in John 12 it says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. As we serve Christ, the Father will honor us. And he's not the kind of distant and cold and judgmental father that the modern approach has taken. You know, the typical picture that you get painted is of a warm and loving and forgiving Jesus kind of standing in between you and this cold, distant, hard-hearted father who's just so sparing with any words of praise or encouragement. And it's not that way. We live like he wants us to live, that he will delight in our ways if we put him first and if we trust in him. Turn over to 2 Timothy. You can actually get God's approval. You can, and I say actually, again, the Father is not a cold and distant and hard-hearted person who is just kind of waiting for you to trip. 2 Timothy 2, it applied to Timothy, a young evangelist, but it also applies to us. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself approved to God as a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. If you handle accurately the scriptures, you can be approved of God. In the King James, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God. That is, be diligent. Yes, study the Bible, but the way the King James wording was, it meant be diligent and timely and really work to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. New International has it, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And as we handle the word of truth, as we talk with one another, you know, Christ said in Malachi, he said, then those that feared the Lord talked often with one another about him, and he'll make us up as jewels in his crown, and he'll spare us in that day as a man spares his son who serves him, if we will correctly handle the scriptures and make the scriptures a point of conversation on the Sabbath with each other during the week and at appropriate times. As we correctly handle this word of truth, these scriptures, we will be approved by God. And again, it's as his Spirit leads us and as we follow that lead, we can get those words of praise from God. Turn over to Matthew 25. You can get praise from God. You can hear the words you need to hear from God if you are faithful over little things. Matthew 25. It's a parable. Christ was right at the end of his life, and he was telling them parables of talents. It starts out in verse 14. Again, it'll be like a man going on a journey, Matthew 25:14. Called his servants, entrusted his property to them. One he gave them 5 talents, monetary units. Another he gave 1 talent. Another gave 2 talents, each according to his ability. You got to plant where you're bloom. You've got to bloom where you're planted, I guess I'm trying to say. You've got to play the cards you're dealt with. Some have more ability than others. God wants to see if you're going to be faithful with the abilities that he's granted you. If you're going to be diligent, he's going to see if you're going to be faithful in little things. And he tells about down in verse 19, after a long time he came back and saw what they had done with it. Verse 21, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant." This is the one who had returned 5 talents. "You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Boy, enter the joy of your Lord. What words that you'd really love to hear. These would be words of praise from God. And what did it take? It just took being faithful with what little we've been given. As we heard in the song, not many wise men now are called, not many noble brethren. He's called us the weak of the world, but in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. You know, Paul asked 3 times that thorn in the flesh would be removed from him. And Christ told him, he says, "Look, my grace is sufficient unto you." And Paul recognized, my strength was made perfect. Christ's strength was made perfect in man's weakness. So to the degree that God trusts us with little things, if we produce, we'll hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Verse 22, then the man with the 2 talents also came. "Master," he said, "you've entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Man, those are the words that we want to hear. If we can hear nothing else, "Well done, good and faithful servant," coming from God would really, really make our day. "You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." You know, at different times over the past weeks, people would ask me, "Well, what are you going to speak on?" I would say, "The words that you want to hear." Then I'd ask them, "What words do you want to hear?" And that came up a lot. People really want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Well, I'd like to skip ahead and close on one of the most powerful sections of Scripture there is. And most of you probably already knew what I was driving at when I first said the title of the sermon, "What words do you want to hear?" It's in Matthew 25. We don't have to go very much further. We'll start in verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left." And it's a fascinating study to look into the characteristics of sheep and the characteristics of goats. And shepherds in an agrarian culture back in the day, they would have had a more vivid mental picture than we would necessarily, because, you know, we work in offices. We're not hanging out with the sheep and the goats. It's not necessarily intuitively obvious to us that goats are strong-willed and hard to corral and independent-minded, and they can be traitorous to their own kind. You know, you've heard of the story of the Judas goat, that you can lead sheep to slaughter if you'll just turn one Judas goat to get him to lead the sheep. On the other hand, the sheep are pliable. They hear their master's voice. There's, you know, a whole sermon you could give on the different characteristics of sheep and goats. But suffice it to say, this image is very powerful here. In verse 34, "Then the king will say to those on his right," words that they really wanted to hear, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Man, those are words that I want to hear. I want to hear those words, and I know everyone in this room wants to hear those words. Yes, there's words we need to hear in this life, as I started out this message with. And there are words that our children and our loved ones need to hear, which are in our power to say. And that's one of the things I wanted to hopefully encourage and inspire you to say. If there are words in your life that you needed to hear but didn't, look around and see who is in your life that needs to hear those words come from you to make a difference. And it can just turn around a word fitly spoken, like it says, is like apples of gold and pictures or frames of silver, a beautiful shining thing. And it doesn't really cost you much, in one sense, to say something that somebody really needs to hear. In another sense, it's being authentic. It's putting yourself on the line. Sometimes you can say words that really reveal yourself, and you don't know how they're going to be reacted to. You don't know how they're going to be received. But if you take that courage and you perceive that somebody needs to hear something and you can authentically say it and put yourself on the line, It can be a turning point. It can be a transformation. We're supposed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, and just the right words from someone in your life who loves you or who needs to know that you love them and can hear that word, you can turn their life around. And in the grand cosmic sense, there are words that we really need to hear. Take the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Now, why did he say those words? How can we make sure that we hear those words? He goes on in verse 35. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. What? That's kind of a disconnect, you know. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Well, these are small things. Spiffing somebody a McDonald's hamburger or, you know, a bottle of water. Stranger and invited me in. Give somebody some shelter from the storm. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. There are members in prison and it's hard to go visit them. And not everybody has the time or inclination or the ability or the opportunity to visit them in the strict definition of prison. But you know, there's a broader definition of prison. There are people who will be listening to this tape who are figuratively in prison. They're shut-ins. Their home has become their prison for reasons of weakness in health, for reasons of Alzheimer's, for reasons of deterioration or fears, you know. There's all kinds of reasons that people find themselves in a figurative prison. And yet, there's no bars, there's no guards, there's no jailer to keep you away without all the strip searches and all this stuff. We can go visit those people in prison. We can at least give them a call to the shut-ins. We can at least go, like I said earlier, take them a cup of coffee and just go hear about how their life is going. I was in prison and you came to visit me. And these are our friends. These are people that we know. I can think of half a dozen people right now who are in prison in the sense that they're shut-ins and they have to depend on MP3s or tapes or webcasts or whatnot. And they would really, really like to hear words from us, their brethren, in person. Then the righteous will answer him in verse 37. Lord, when did we see you hungry? They were taking it very literally in this thing. They were, you know, thinking, when did I see Jesus Christ hungry? I've never even seen him in person. When did I see you hungry and feed you? When were you thirsty and I gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Then the king will reply, I tell you the truth. And in the Greek it's amen, amen. Verily, verily, of a truth. No doubt about it. I tell you the truth with emphasis. Whatever you did for one of the least of these my brethren, you did for me. Whenever we said those glorious golden words that somebody we love needed to hear and we meant it with authenticity, in a sense, we're saying that to Christ. Christ wants us to be the kind of loving people, loving one for another, that he was to us. He gave his life for us. Husbands and wives are supposed to give their life for each other. And a lot of times the ones we hurt are the ones we love the most. And words can be a very devastating and sharp and negative thing. But the flip side is, spoken truthfully and from the heart, we can make a real turning point and a difference in somebody's life by saying the right words, by saying the words that they need to hear. And to the degree that we do these things for the least of our brethren, we're doing it for Christ. And he knows, like I said, every hair on our head. He hears every word. Whatever is spoken in the secret places will be proclaimed from the housetops. God is very intimately concerned with his first fruits. We have been called in this age to bear a heavy responsibility to learn the kind of life that will let us assist him in administering the literal government of God on earth. As we're resurrected, having gone through life in the flesh, and we become spirit beings and help administer his government, when people err and slip up, we're not going to clot up and rain all over them and smash them down. We're going to say, you know, I was there, but this is the way, walk in it. Don't make this bad choice early on. I did it myself. But you know, through the grace of God, he called me and I overcame. I lived that life that was portrayed to me clearly in the scriptures. And I was able to grow and overcome with the help of the Spirit. And you can too. I mean, we are going to be cosmic cheerleaders. I just can see it now, how we're helping people staggering about after the tribulation and the beginning of the millennium, and at Gog and Magog, and this whole enormous scene of confusion, slowly settling down and becoming the peaceful kingdom of God, where there's a place for everybody to live. You know, Satan and the demons will have been bound. Christ will be ruling from his glorious throne in Jerusalem. The first fruits will be born. The knowledge of God will be covering the earth as the water covers the seabeds. And people will hear and fear and repent and turn to God. The veil that's been over all nations will be lifted, and people can see, and they no longer will have their ears stopped up. You know, the tongue of the deaf or the tongue of the dumb will sing for joy. The lame will leap. And we can be a part of that, and we can help others enjoy that who never had a chance, who suffered because of the way they lived, and yet who can be redeemed because of what we've gone through and the praise that we earned from God as we lived by the Scriptures and got a lifetime of experience and love that we were willing to share, as explained here in the Sheep of the Goats. So in conclusion, I want to say that we all have words that we want to hear. And there are people around us who have words that they want to hear. Some of it we need to hear from our wives and our husbands. Some of it we need to hear from our parents. And as I said earlier, maybe it's too late for you to hear the words you need to hear from your parents. They're already gone. But you know, the next generation needs to hear these words. We crave the love of our families. We need respect from our peers at work and at school and in the community. This is how we're made. God made us to have these needs because he knows that he's building his family, and he has compassion and mercy on us. He wants us to have compassion and mercy on each other. If we trust in the Lord and put him first, if we live like the Scriptures and hold out that bright and shining example of Christ's life, if we can put on Christ, if we can put on the very character and nature of God and put him first, he will give us the desires of our heart. He will let us hear the words we need to hear directly from him through the Scriptures, or since he works through people many times, we'll hear those words we need to hear from the ministry, from one another. We'll hear the praise that we need to hear in this life, but so much more, as we've read in Matthew 25, the praise that leads to eternal life, the praise that we will hear from Christ himself when he says to us, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world."